Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 154, recorded June 8th, 2010. Tony Hsieh. Net at Night is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. If you're in tech support, save time and money by supporting your clients and colleagues remotely with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California, in the U.S. of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Hi, Amber.
Hi, Leo.
I'm being a little silly today.
You're being silly. You're making me laugh. Silly. So
well, you know, I'm giddy because look what I got in the mail today. It's a book with Amber on the front of it.
Oh, I know. Yes. Yeah, so the book is coming out in the U.S. on June 10th.
Power Friending. This is exciting.
It's so exciting. It's so amazing just to see it in print, you know, nice hardcover book, and think about all the work that's gone into it. And it's really great. So for anyone who needs some social media advice, it's a great read. It definitely focuses on the how-to side of things and how to do everything from shoot video. Chris helped me with that section to manage your Twitter account and so on.
So compare writing a book to having a baby.
Well, I think having a baby is a lot more intense for 24 hours. And with writing a book, it
takes about the same
amount
of time, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think in some respects it's similar. The funny thing is, the night before I had Connor, the night before I went into labor, I actually delivered my proposal for the book, which was 10,000 words. So I handed it in at 9 p.m.
At
5 a.m. I went into labor. So the whole time I've had Connor, the book has been very sort of, you know, closely aligned as far as big moments in my life.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. This is your first, isn't it? Your first book.
Yeah, it's my first book. And, you know, it's so much work, but it is rewarding at the end. And I know you've written books as well, and you know how much time and effort
incredible.
It takes.
But look who you have. I mean, Tony Robbins, Steve Chen, founder of YouTube, Gary Vaynerchuk, Guy Kawasaki, Kevin Rose, Don Tapscott. I mean, everybody's just raving about this. This is fantastic. And I love this. Right in the inside, Amber Mack wants to be your friend.
I know. Of course, my publisher got a little creative with that. But and I talk about Net at Night in the book and our whole, you know, go back into the history of how we started and our interview with Steve Chen. And
you're even talking about how to do a TV pod, you know, like Command N. I mean, you got it all in here. This is great.
Yeah, it was funny because I wrote the chapter on production and podcasting, and then Chris literally took it over, and he was like, give that to me.
Don't you write that. Well, he is the brilliant cameraman and editor, and you know, he does such a great job. Here's Scott Monty at Ford. You're talking about him. And
yeah, so I interviewed a lot of people for the book as well, which was a lot of fun. Actually, Leo, just quickly, before we have our guest on, next week I'm going to show you this video, but Chris and I have been shooting a video as a promotion for the book. We didn't want to do a typical book trailer, and so we came up with this creative idea. We're shooting it all on the Canon T2i. We have recreated the opening of Dexter, but we're calling it Texter.
Your favorite show, I got to say.
Yes.
You just went crazy when Dexter was on.
Oh. It's so good. And for 2 days, I've been shooting with Chris close-ups of everything, and it's fantastic. And I might say that the Twit Network actually makes an appearance, so I'll tease it a little bit. So next week, I'll show it off, and you'll see. You know, you're always talking about what a great shooter Chris is, and it's amazing. It looks fantastic.
I can't wait. So will that be, like, on YouTube and everything? And
I'll send
you. We'll make that our video of the week next week.
Yes, you make an appearance, even though you couldn't be here.
I do?
Yep.
Hey, speaking of books, I'm really excited about our guest today. We've got Tony Hsieh on, the CEO of Zappos, who I'm sure you mentioned him in Power Friending because his use of Twitter is brilliant. I mean, he's the guy who showed how a company can use Twitter effectively.
Oh my gosh. Not only did I mention him in the book, every time I speak about social media and businesses, his name comes up. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even know what an influence he's been on so many people and so many businesses. It's fantastic. I mean, I just checked. I think he has 1.5 million or more followers on Twitter, and people in his company list their profiles on Twitter. So you have like an army of customer support people. And he is a model for anyone who's interested in social media and online, developing an online business as well.
He's coming up in just a bit. He's got a new book just came out called Just Like You. This is great. I love it. This is his story, though. It's kind of his memoir, Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose. Tony is incredible. I cannot wait to speak to him, and we will in just a minute.
Me too. Cannot
but
wait.
Before we do you want to do a couple of links?
Yeah, let's do a couple of links. I found this one on TechCrunch and Mashable, and it's reporting on the number of people who are using Twitter. So Twitter has announced that they are now attracting approximately 190 million visitors per month to the site, and there are approximately 65 million tweets a day. And I thought that was just phenomenal.
We used to say Twitter was dwarfed by Facebook, but really it's getting close. I mean, 190 million, 400 million, it's almost half Facebook's size now. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I couldn't really tell when they were releasing these stats is, you know, they're talking about visitors per month, whereas Facebook's talking about individual users.
Oh,
so
it's not
uniques. Yeah. You know, it kind of tricks you a little bit because at one point Twitter said that they had 75 million users. So I wonder how much it's grown since then. But still, you're right. I mean, people talk about how tiny Twitter is compared to Facebook, but it's getting up there and it's growing really fast.
Well, and if you think about it, I mean, one of the measures of that is how Facebook is chasing Twitter. I mean, Facebook, which is nominally bigger than Twitter, is actually changing its business model because of the success of Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I had a meeting with Facebook a few weeks ago where they talked about how much time people spend on their homepage in Facebook. And you think people go out to other people's pages, but that people actually spend about 90% of their time in that news feed on their homepage, which is just like Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Just amazing.
So if Twitter's had a huge influence on them.
Here's a stat I just got from the chat room. That's another number that you might find of interest. According to Jennifer Van Grove, writing in Mashable this morning, Starbucks Vice President of Brand, Content, and Online, Chris Bruzzo, is speaking at their media summit, the Mashable Media Summit. And remember last year they did Free Pastry Day at Starbucks? They tweeted free pastries. They used Twitter, Facebook to promote it. He says that drove 1 million customers into the store to get free pastry.
Oh, my goodness.
1 million people into the stores. This is a medium that has come of age. I think probably no ad campaign could do that. That's amazing.
That is pretty phenomenal. No, I can't imagine any ad campaign doing that. I think Twitter and Starbucks seem to have a really close relationship as well, and they've been using it for a long time and experimenting, and it seems to really obviously work for them.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break. Well, we could do one more. You have another. We have time for one more.
Yeah. This is just quick. You know, you mentioned the Mashable Media Summit that was happening, and the New York Times has announced that they have a new tech section on their site online, including a section called Tech Pulse that pulls in tweets from selected influencers, and they're very close as far as working with Mashable. So I'm sure a lot of that content from Mashable will be there as well. And it's interesting to see them kind of expanding their tech site because they already do a lot. I mean, I'm a regular reader, but
it's kind of confusing because remember they closed down the circuits section on the New York Times, which is a print, tech section. But now, and I guess maybe they're right that maybe instead of putting it in the print paper, that what they really want to do is put it online, because after all, if you're interested in gadgets, that's where you are.
That's the place you're going to go. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even I write for the Globe and Mail now in Canada, and they've really expanded their tech section online. Not so much in the print version, but on the web. I mean, they just get tons and tons of traffic.
Because we don't read we don't go to the paper for tech news, do we? We go to the web. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't imagine going and buying a newspaper to read tech.
It's yesterday's news today. It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there, you know, during the Steve Jobs keynote, and like second by second, waiting for live updates on
blog. Right.
On Twitter, you know, watching what's happening. So, I don't think I'd head out to the store to pick up a paper for that type of content.
I think right now the Times is perhaps my favorite mainstream company covering technology. I mean, I think still sites like Mashable do a better job and are more identifiable, and Gadget does a better job. But I have to say the New York Times is coming on pretty strong.
Yeah, and you know, I think they have different type of content. I mean, we talk a lot about in the newspaper business what's happening and how disruptive it's been as of late. And what the New York Times does is they are still writing articles and telling stories. I mean, Mashable's not doing that. They have quick little updates. So if you want stories and more in-depth reporting and journalism, I mean, it's still a great destination to go because you're not going to get that on a lot of the blogs.
Yeah, I'm taking a test right now on the New York Times that's testing whether I'm paying attention. And so a perfect way to, oh, I got it wrong. I just got that one wrong. A perfect way to do this. I have no idea. Oh man, forget it. I want to take this test. I won't do it right now, but it's to test your focus and then test how fast you juggle tasks.
So hey, doing this while we're talking.
Yeah. So you see, that's why it's perfect for me. No, I think this is really interesting. This is how the New York Times is responding. You know, yeah, you don't read the print paper, so we're going to do interactive tests on our website. It's not the great lady I knew and grew up with.
No, definitely not.
Okay, before we get Tony Hsieh on the line, and I understand he is ready and waiting in the wings. His new book is Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose. I would like to give you a little plug for Citrix.com. Citrix has so many great products, like Go to My PC. GoToMeeting. Of course, if you're in enterprise, you know about Citrix and Enterprise for their remote access. If you're in support, I would hope you would know about this product, GoToAssist Express. And if you don't, I am very happy to introduce it to you. We've been using GoToAssist for years. I started using it on the screensavers. We actually used it on TV for a while. It's gotten better and better and better. Now the new GoToAssist Express is faster, easier to use, and with the features that really make remote support a breeze. The next time you're on the phone with a customer, a client, or in my case, my mom, all I have to do is say, Mom, go to assist.com. This is Mac or PC. And enter in this ID. She will. And then suddenly I can see her computer. She can see me on her computer. She can see me fix her computer. It's just a lifesaver. I don't have to say, okay, Mom, in the system preference pane, I want you to go to network settings. I don't have to do that anymore. GoToAssist allows you to run up to 8 sessions at the same time. You could do unattended sessions as well. It has a way to find out what operating system's running, what background software is running. It's just fantastic. Try it free for 30 days. They have day passes if you're an occasional support pro, but really, this is for... Yeah, I think that's nice, but honestly, to be honest, this is for... the pro, the person who does this day in, day out, you really need a GoToAssist Express account. GoToAssist.com/night lets you try it free for 30 days. GoToAssist.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Let me get Tony Hsieh on the line, shall I?
All right. I cannot wait to chat with him.
Have you ever met Tony? You must have.
I've never met him. No. No, I've never met him. I've read, like I said, a lot about him and the work he's been doing with Zappos and kind of studied how he's built up his little empire, because I think it's fair to say it's an empire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just stalling while I reach over and type Skype things. Say things.
A lot of people are super excited about him coming on Twitter as well, who have been mentioning that he's joining us on the show, because I think for anyone who has a business and just watching what he's done, because so many companies, at least I've spoken to, they're afraid of this technology and they think, you know, if they're the CEO, they shouldn't use it. It should be sort of for their underlings. Right. And I think he's kind of turned that idea on its head.
We ran into Tony. He was running a bus around South by Southwest this year.
I'm on, yeah.
And he had hey, Tony, how are you? Good to see you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. Welcome to Net at Night. Amber MacArthur here with
us.
So I was just telling Amber about the bus you had at South by Southwest. You're driving around, had great food and drink. You even had a bartender on the bus.
Yeah, that was fun. It's kind of weird seeing you not in person.
Well, you know, most people who know Tony know him as @Zappos on Twitter. How did you get on Twitter? Whose idea was that? Did some PR person tell you to do that, Tony?
No, it was actually at South by Southwest, I think, 2007, whenever they first debuted at South by Southwest.
Yeah, 2007, I think. Yeah, yeah.
And I just found it was a great way to actually figure out which parties to go to, which, you know, because there are some parties where it was just way too crowded, even though it sounded great. And through Twitter, you can find out, oh, not worth waiting in the long line that's 2 blocks long. And then for others, there were people that were saying, oh, we're starting a party ourselves, and that's going to, be at this location, even though it's not an official party, and then we would just see people swarm in, and so it worked really well. So took it back to Vegas and used it for about, I don't know, about a year or so, both with my friends in Vegas, where we would just find out what was going on, where people were hanging out at, and then also used, because I had moved from San Francisco to Vegas, I found it was a great way to kind of stay in touch and maintain that personal connection with my friends in San Francisco. So after doing it for about a year, you know, for us at Zappos, our number one priority is company culture. And so we just added it as another element, introduced it to, I sent out an email, explained to employees how to sign on to it and how to use it. And the goal was to use it as another way to help build our company culture and really just initially really help put a more personal connection between employees, but then that kind of expanded to customers as well.
Did you ever have that sort of tipping point with Twitter? I always tell people, if you want to really understand Twitter, you have to use it for a couple of months, and then you'll kind of have an aha moment. Was there one moment that you can remember when you knew this would change the way that you do business?
I guess I didn't really think of it in terms of, oh, how can we leverage this for business? It really was more about, wow, is this something that I personally would be passionate about and use? And for me, I had not heard of it prior to South by Southwest 2007. And for me, just that, you know, those 3 or 4 days of using it, not only, I mean, initially it was for bar hopping, but then I thought it was really cool being able to watch presentations at the conference and just see the stream of people either loving or hating whatever the presenter was saying. And so that was, that whole combination was kind of my aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you've got a book. Not your first book. In fact, I've made an assignment to my employees to read the Zappos book that you put out every year. You actually give it away every year on company culture, because Zappos is such an amazing corporate culture, and the customer service from Zappos. And I'm I speak as a customer as well as an admirer in the press is really effective. And so we've been, we try to study, how do they do it? How do they do it? And then we get that Zappos book every year. But this is more of a memoir, isn't it? Delivering Happiness. You talk about...
Oh, we got to send you the hardcover, because that was the copy.
This is the one you gave me at South by Southwest,
the real
I think.
One.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, I can...
It just came out yesterday.
I know, so, it's so exciting. Yeah. It's really great news, Tony. Congratulations. So tell us about the book.
So originally, you know, writing the book was just one of those things I wanted to check off of my list of things to do, like running a marathon. And that was a few years ago. And so I decided to run a marathon instead, because that seemed like it was less work.
A little easier.
And but then, you know, you haven't been to our offices for a tour, have you?
No, I'm dying to. Next time in Vegas, I have to come by.
Yeah, definitely. Next time we actually give tours to the public. So next time anyone's in Vegas, we give tours Monday through Thursdays. And we actually have a website just for it. Go to tours.zappos.com and you can sign up right there and schedule a tour. But anyways, we used to give tours only to our vendors, and then word kind of got out about it, and we offer to the public now. And at the end of the tours, because some days there's 50 tours going on at once, we used to actually, some people would have questions like, oh, how do you interview people for culture fit? What are the questions you ask? How do you evaluate those things? And we would take them over to the head of recruiting, and she would answer. Well, that didn't scale as we got more and more tours. So then we developed a website and separate business called Zappos Insights. And so if you go to ZapposInsights.com, you can do the same thing, ask a question, and if you're a subscriber, and then our, in that example, head of recruiting would answer the question on video, and then it'd be available to all subscribers. And then that evolved into offering 1 or 2 day seminars where people come to our offices and we help them really figure out what their core values should be for their company that's right for them. So we're not out there saying, here, duplicate the Zappos culture, and then really help them build stronger culture. So it's
I'm
really
gonna
cool
have to join. This is great. $40
a
year
idea.
For this. What a great value. Yeah.
So we've had other companies that are not even internet companies, like the there's this Atlanta refrigeration company that came through the seminar, and they do refrigeration repairs out in the field in Atlanta. And so you couldn't think of a more opposite company than Zappos in a lot of ways. And they went through and then after going through the seminar, I really focused on building stronger, making their culture stronger, and really focused on building better customer service experiences. And now their revenue's up, their profits are up, employees are happy, customers are happy. So the reason I wanted to write the book was, I think 50 years ago, people had to choose between maximizing profits and making employees or customers happy. But today we're living in this hyper-connected world thanks to things like Twitter, blogging, people watching your show. And that information just travels so quickly. And so when companies act in a certain way, the values that are underlying the company, not their stated values, but the actual values that the company acts on and how the company behaves, that just information like that just spreads very quickly. So it's actually possible to have it all, to make employees happy, make customers happy, and ultimately drive profits and make investors happy.
A lot of people think that they shouldn't let their employees use some of the tech tools that you do use at Zappos, and they think they should lock them down because they're just wasting time. What would you say to them?
Well, there's been... Well, I think there's a bunch of different studies. I think you can ask almost anyone how much time they are actually productive at work. And I think I read some study where the average worker admits to wasting 2 hours a day at their job on average. So,
that's admits to, by the way. That's only what they admit to.
I don't know who did that survey, but ultimately, there are studies that show a huge correlation between employee engagement and employee productivity. And one of the best predictors of employee engagement is how many friends they have at work, or the number, or whether they have a best friend at work. And so that all translates into culture stuff and really just feeling like they have downtime to, you're not always just working, because that's actually, you can only work intently and focus intently for, I think studies have shown on average 90 minutes at a time, and then you need to take a break.
Tony, where does the corporate culture at Zappos come from? Is that coming from the top down? Is it you doing this? How do you create this culture?
It's organic. And basically 5 or 6 years ago, I sent an email out to the entire company and asked, what should our core values be? And got a whole bunch of different responses back, and eventually went back and forth for a year and eventually boiled it down to 10 core values. And so it was a group effort at the time, and now the cool thing about a lot of companies have, they might call them core values or guiding principles and so on, but the difference is, most companies, it reads kind of like a press release that the PR department put out, and they're very lofty sounding, and maybe you learn about it on day one of orientation if you're a large corporation, but then it becomes this meaningless plaque on the wall that no one pays attention to. For us, we wanted to come up with committable core values. So if you do a Google search for Zappos core values, you'll see what our 10 core values are. And by committable, meaning we're actually willing to hire or fire people based on those values, independent of their actual job performance. And when you use that criteria, it's actually a pretty hard list to come up with for any company.
Say that again. You hire or fire not based on performance?
In addition to that, but I'm saying even if they're doing their job function perfectly fine, doing a great job, if they're not living up to the core values, then we'll fire them just for that alone.
Wow.
So, for example, when we hire people, we do two sets of interviews. The hiring manager and his or her team will interview for the standard, fit within the team, relevant experience, technical ability, and so on. But then our HR department does a separate set of interviews purely for culture fit, and they have to pass both in order to be hired.
How do you test somebody for culture fit in your case?
So if you look at our 10 core values, probably the one that trips us up the most is actually number 10, be humble, because there's a lot of smart, talented people out there that are also really egotistical.
Yep.
And for us, it's not even a question. We won't hire them. But what might happen at most other larger companies is the conversation would be, well, this person is kind of annoying, we'll rub you the wrong way sometimes, but he's going to add a lot of value to the company. Therefore, we should hire him.
And no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, that one hire isn't necessarily going to bring the company culture downhill, but right. You keep making compromises like that over and over and over again. I think that's why most large companies don't have great cultures.
Somebody told me that after you get hired at Zappos and you go through the training, Zappos then says, okay, we're going to pay you not to work here. Is that true?
Yep. That is true. Basically, everyone that's hired in our Las Vegas headquarters goes through the same four-week training program that our call center reps go through. And we go over company history, the importance of company culture, and then you're actually on the phone for 2 weeks taking calls from customers.
Good.
But at the end of the first week, we make the offer, and it's we're going to pay you for the time you've spent training plus a bonus of $2,000 to quit and leave the company right now. And that's a standing offer until the end of the training. And actually, we've just extended it a couple months beyond that. And the reason we do that is because we don't want employees that are there just for a paycheck. We want employees that are there that really believe in our long-term vision.
If we can buy really you, if we can buy you off, we want to buy you off. We want to get you out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That's actually the first time I heard about Zappos. I heard about that particular story and it just sort of, you know, went off my head. A light bulb went off thinking, wow, that's a pretty innovative idea and I'm sure effective as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it actually started out as $100 in 2007, I think is when we started. And we keep raising it. It's now, I think, up to $2,000 because we feel like not enough people are actually taking the offer.
I love it. That's just that. You know what? Some of this comes from a real confidence, Tony, and that's what's I think very important. Is you really are confident in your corporate culture and your belief in what you're doing. I know the same thing happens with customers. You recently with one of your we talked about this on Net at Night a couple of weeks ago. One of your high end sites had a pricing error, and a lot of companies would have said, no, you know, we're not going to honor that price. That was a mistake on the webpage. You honored the price. You have confidence in your customers even.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it really just goes back to what is the right thing to do for our brand in the long term. Now, the pricing error you're talking about actually happened on our sister website, 6pm.com. And what happened was basically we had a pricing engine and it between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m., we accidentally priced everything that was sold exclusively on 6pm.com at $50. And so my understanding is there were $1,500 items that were selling for $50.
And you lost a million or more dollars.
I am told 1.6 million of our products were sold below cost, and that doesn't even include the labor or shipping losses on top of that. So,
and why did you decide to honor that? Because you could have completely legitimately and legally said, oh, you know what, so our mistake, we can't offer you at that price.
Yeah, no, and it's actually in our terms and conditions that we can back out of that. But you know what's funny is people, I've been asked a couple of times by reporters, oh, what? Tell us about what the internal discussion or debate was about that. And the funny thing is there was no debate. It was just like everyone internally just automatically assumed, well, that, you know, that sucks. We just lost $1.6 million. There was never the discussion of even, oh, should we consider not honoring those prices? It was just the
right thing to do.
Yeah, well, I think it was just part of our culture being so service-oriented where, you know, we have a history, and some of the bigger examples you'll read about or you've read in the book are where we're willing to walk away from short-term profits in order to if it's the right thing in the long term to do for our brand.
Mm-hmm. I have a great question here that someone has asked on Twitter. His name is The Fundraiser. And he's asking, what is the key to selling online something people normally want to try on, like shoes? Which is a great question because I think, you know, people normally think, okay, I want to go into the store to try that on. But you've really proven that that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I think the key is to, for us, we've always thought of it in terms of, it's really about trying to mimic the in-store experience to some degree. And so normally people, when they return something online, they think of that as a bad thing or either cost-wise or just it's a pain to have to, you know, go through and submit a get approval to get returns. And normally, because most companies try to prevent that sort of thing. So for us, the decision we made in the early days is let's offer free shipping both ways so that the shipping back and forth is really the service. And we just need to get customers to try it out once, and then that'll get them hooked once they see how easy it is and how there's really no financial risk for them in doing that because we pay for the shipping back. And so when you walk into a regular shoe store, what happens is the salesperson goes into the stock room and back, brings out five pairs of shoes, you try them all on, and maybe let's say you keep three of them, and then the other two the salesperson takes back to the stock room. So that's exactly what we do at Zappos. You might order five pairs of shoes and then try all five on in the comfort of your living room. You don't keep all of them. You send, say, two of them back to our warehouse. So basically, instead of the stock room being 50 feet away, it's in Kentucky, so hundreds of miles away. But it's a much larger selection. And that shipping back and forth, we wanted to just get customers to think of as that is the service, like right. Just like with Netflix, and not really think of it as so much as returns.
It worked for me. I mean, once I found a size that worked for me and a shoe that I liked, I just ordered again and again on Zappos. I'm a big Zappos customer. And by the way, you do another very smart thing, and it seems like you do it every single time. It has been for me. You upgrade the shipping at least fairly frequently and say, hey, we like you. We're gonna ship this express expedited without charging.
Yeah, so for most of our loyal repeat customers, we do a surprise upgrade to overnight shipping.
I love that.
And because that's actually not the only element that's important behind the scenes. What's also important is that we run our warehouse 24/7, which actually is not the most efficient way to run a warehouse. The most efficient way is to let the orders pile up so that there's higher picking density in the picker doesn't need to walk as far in the warehouse. And then the other thing, and also like when you have people working these weird hours, and especially in Kentucky, that's not normally a 24-hour town or state or region. It's harder to find quality workers. And so on top of that, our warehouse is located 15 minutes away from the UPS hub, which is another, call it strategic decision we made a while back, because when you actually are able to, like any one of those things or two of those things actually would not be enough. You need all three of those things, the proximity to the UPS hub, plus the running the warehouse less efficiently at 24/7, plus surprise upgrading to overnight shipping. But when you have all three, then that enables us to have customers order as late as midnight Eastern. And then with the surprise, it shows up on their doorstep 8 hours later and creates that whole wow experience.
It sure does. It worked on me. We're talking to Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos. You just were sold or purchased by Amazon. Is that going to change the company much, Tony? Is that...
No, it's actually been great. So the deal officially closed November of last year. And one of the preconditions for us even talking to them about the exploring an acquisition scenario was that we would remain independent and we'd continue to grow the Zappos brand and our culture and the way we do business the way we always have been. And so there's been examples where actually Amazon as a whole, and this is actually very unusual for Amazon. Most of their acquisitions, they
absorb,
fold into the company. But they recognize that our unique culture is what's gotten us as far as we have. And they explicitly even wrote out on a document that their goal is to seek to protect that. And we would make our own choices, except where, legally required to do something else.
The value of the company is not the shoes. The value of the company is the culture. That's what they bought, I think. That's what I would want to buy. Let me ask one last question before we let you go. What drives you, Tony, personally? You're an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. You've done very well. You sold Link Exchange to Microsoft for $265 million. Certainly, you're set for life. Is it money? Is it starting a new company? Is it building something? What is it that keeps you going?
I think it's the idea of building something and being part of building something and being able to be creative and kind of that excitement of just always building, I think. And so it's actually, and the cool thing about that's and the reason why I've stayed with Zappos even after the acquisition is because that continues to happen. And because the Zappos brand is about service and not about shoes, really, you know, there really could be a Zappos airline 20 right. years from now. That's right. just about the best service. And so, anytime there's a new idea that, so, and then that's also part of what's been exciting about this whole book launch thing is, if you go to the website, that's at the bottom of the screen, deliveringhappinessbook.com, we've actually been, it's been like its own mini startup. There's been a team of about 15 people working part-time to help launch it. And we've been doing all sorts of stuff like giving out copies of the book to bloggers and asking them to write reviews. And you know, that South by Southwest party bus was another way of promoting. And kind of our criteria is let's think of ways where we can promote the book and have fun at the same time. So we're actually going to do a cross-country bus tour in July, and you should come to part of it. We'll send out the itinerary and meet us in whatever cities and go for a leg of it.
Any party you're throwing, Tony, I'm there.
Any stops in Canada?
Well, so one of the things is we're actually reaching out to people visiting the website and asking them to respond through via Twitter, by email, with which cities they'd like us to stop in and why, and then we'll kind of make it a user-generated.
That's so great. Tony Hsieh is the author of the brand-new book, just came out, Delivering Happiness. If you buy it, by the way, you'll get the one that doesn't have the advanced copy hardcover coming in 2010 button on. This is just an advanced copy. Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose by Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos, and a real inspiration for all of us. Tony, we were looking for this book everywhere. My CEO had it and was reading it cover to cover. We get your culture book every year. As somebody who's in a very small way starting a business, it's an absolute inspiration. Thank you for what you've done, and a great company and a great book. And we'll see you on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Deliveringhappinessbook.com. Take care, Tony.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's great. It was so nice to be able to chat with him. There's so many questions that came across on Twitter, too. I think people are really
interested. I'm
sorry
we ran out of time, unfortunately.
No, I know. Sorry about that. And he's such a young entrepreneur, and he's done so much. I think people are just curious about how he's come so far and just maintain that sense of him being humble himself.
We will just have to get him back. I mean, and I think he would gladly come back. And, you know, if the bus comes anywhere near the Twit Cottage, we'll just drag him in here and we'll do a day with Tony Hsieh.
Take him in for the day, Leo.
Yeah, or maybe we'll take the live view. You know, we have that live box that we had at South by Southwest. Oh, we have that now every day. So we might take. Wouldn't it be fun just to get on the bus?
You should do it. Yeah. And crowd surf
the bus. What a great book, Amber. We got two books to plug today. Amber's new book is Power Friending, brand new, just came out from Portfolio. It's in bookstores and Amazon and everywhere, right?
Yeah, it is. So you can pre-order it now, and it's coming out on Thursday. So if you order it now, you'll get a copy very soon, which is exciting. I was just laughing because I'm thinking of the title of my book, Power Friending and Delivering Happiness. They sound like these kind of new age business books.
They really are, yeah. But you know what?
Like internet hippies, right?
Ever since the Clue Train, businesses have learned they can't be rapacious. They can't be money first. You're there to serve the customer. And it's a very simple lesson. It makes business more fun, more satisfying, and incidentally, it happens to work better. It makes you more successful. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And these are two books everybody should run out and buy right now. Amber, we're going to leave with our, you know, we have a new show that comes on after you every week. Actually, it's every day, 2:30, Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane. And actually, Tom Merritt and Becky Worley will be here today in just a minute. So we're going to get out of Dodge. Amber is at commandn.tv. That's her great podcast. She's on CTV.
Yeah, CB24 in Toronto, doing Web Nation on Wednesday nights.
And ambermack.com is her blog. And, of course, you can follow her on Twitter as Amber Mack. And, or is it Amber MacArthur?
It's Amber Mack. I
got
it a while ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the book, Power Friending.
Powerfriending.com if you want to read more about the book.
Tell us about our video of the week.
Oh, Leo, this is for you. I always find links for you. Okay, we talked about Glee. We're both big fans.
I love Glee! And who's the best person on Glee? Jane Lynch.
Yes, Sue Sylvester.
Sylvester.
She's a lot of fun. And she appeared in this new ad. It's a parody for the iPhone 4. And in classic Sue style, she cracks this up. And you have to watch till the end. It's not very long, but it's a goodie.
All right. We'll talk to you in a minute. Amber MacArthur, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.
Hello, I'm the new iPhone. And I'm Jane Lynch.
One time I was left at a bar in Redwood City and sold on the internet for $5,000.
I was lost once too, but not in Redwood City. It was in Singapore, and it wasn't in a bar. It was in the Parliament Underground Pleasure Lair, and I think you know where I'm going with this.
Not really.
I was caned.
I have a camera on the front so I can see myself take pictures.
Oh, I've always had a camera on my front, but I tell people it's a third nipple so they don't feel less than.
Great news, you can now use multiple apps with me at the same time.
Oh, I used to always have multiple apps. God, I miss the 90s.
What were the 90s like?
Well, it was like cluster bombs going off in my pants.
All my design features were broadcast all over the internet for the entire world to see, even though I wasn't finished yet.
Well, I tried to leak my erotic novel online, but the website claimed to have never received it.
Damn you, Gizmodo.
Hey, that's a cute sweatshirt you got there, iPhone.
Oh, thanks, Jay.
How not to dress like your best friends with ET. There's an app for that.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I'm out of here. F you.
Hey, pal, you dropped a call. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll pick it up. Yellow.